And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Don't worry, I'm going to take my mask off. But it's okay. I want you to know it's all right. Mask up. Don't matter what other people say. Looks like there's some safety in putting the mask on. So as a PSA, public service announcement, listen, do what you can. Let's be as comfortable as we can, but let's make it as sure as we can. As you've heard in our opening prayer, we want to certainly appreciate Brother Glover. Certainly want to appreciate our brother for our song service as well. All of those who have been active participants, thank those who are here to work and to make sure that we can come and reach out to you through this technology on this morning. As you heard, there's a pandemic in the land. And there are people that are trying to figure out how we're going to overcome the pandemic. And one of the simple things, put on a mask, wash your hands. Does that make sense? Social distancing, do what we can. Now, all of this actually has a bearing on some of the things that we're going to see in the lesson on this morning. We invite you to meet with us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 35. My name is Ray Wilkerson. I'm the assistant minister here, and I have the pleasure of leading you in the preaching this morning. So Ezekiel chapter 35 is where we're going to ask for you to meet. Now, the interesting thing is that we are journeying through the Bible. I just love this. 365-day journey through the Bible. We're reading and we're studying and we're working through the Word of God. And today our reading schedule would bring us to Ezekiel chapters 35 through 37. And obviously I can't preach through all of that, but I'm going to try to pick out some nuggets that I can share as we go along from chapters 35 through 37. And the great thing is, again, God's word seems always relevant to the things, the situations that are going on in life. Not only do we have a pandemic that is going throughout the world, we've got a lot of social strife here in the United States and all the way around the world, where people are talking about racial injustice and racial disharmony. And there are people that are planting and trying to sow strife and division among all of the people that live in the United States. And somebody's saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I think there's a word from the Lord. Is that all right?
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 35. Meet with us there. Three things I want you to make sure that you make note of as we go through chapters 35 through 37, so that you'll know where we're headed and possibly you can see when we get there. We see in Ezekiel chapter 35 this great prophecy against Edom, and we'll look at that in a little bit of detail. We're going to see also that God promises to restore his people into one nation. That's going to be very important for us, because when we get to the third point here is the one nation of God is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is going to be the important and imperative that we know that there's one nation, and that nation is in Jesus Christ. And that one nation, if you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, heard that Jesus is the Son of God, repented, that is to turn from self and sin and turn to God. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. You have the opportunity even today that you can become a part of that one nation of God. And our phone number, 713-672-2654, call the number. We'll make sure that we baptize you in water at the earliest opportunity. I'm talking about today. Somebody called a couple of weeks ago and said, well, when do y'all baptize? And one of the elders told him, we baptize 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So whatever time you call, we're going to get here. Is that all right? All right. Ezekiel chapter 35. Ezekiel chapter 35, the verses of scripture that were read, 1 and 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord, that's what we want.
Amen.
Don't we want the word of the Lord? Ezekiel, captive, out in Babylon. And now he's got a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. Who are these people? Son of man, the word of God says, set your face toward Mount Seir, and I want you to preach against Mount Seir. Would God have his prophet preach against a people? It's in the book. Notice, remember Mount Seir. Well, who are these people? In Genesis chapter 36 and verse number 9, the Bible says, and these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites. Where are they? In Mount Seir. So you're going to have to study with us. Pay attention. Stay with us. Now notice, the generations of Esau, he's the father of the Edomites. Where are they? They are in Mount Seir. So this prophecy against Mount Seir is against the Edomites. You remember in Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 9, that Esau, who is the brother, the twin brother of Jacob, had taken also a wife from among the Ishmaelites, who are a part of this same family. And their thing is that we are sons of Abraham just like everybody else. The Bible says in Genesis 28 and verse number 9, then Esau went unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Naboth, to be his wife. So he took another wife. So we've got the Ishmaelites and we've got the Edomites, and they are actually offspring and related to, cousins, if you will, to the Jews. Do you have any folk in your family that you don't get along with? Do you have any folk in your family that you don't like? Do you have any folk in your family that you are actually enemies with? God sent the prophet a word, and you tell these Edomites, you tell the dwellers in Mount Seir that I am against them. We have a group of people that God is against. And I think there's an application for what we are going through today. You can see that there are people that are following the same kind of behavior. And I believe that from the word of God, we can say God is against that. Notice this. Why is God against them? Ezekiel 35 and verse number 5. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred. What? They just hate their cousins. They hate this race of people. They hate this nation that they are related to, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in their time of calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. God says to Edom, he says, listen, I am against you because you shed innocent blood. You shed the blood of the people just because you want to kill. And when folk rose up against them, you got in the way and you blocked them. You wouldn't let them escape, and you caused them to be murdered and slain for no reason other than you don't like them. My question is there ever a situation where there's a group of people that just don't like one group of people? A people who are biased, if you will, have racial bias toward another group of people. And somebody go, oh Lord, I hope he's not going down that line. Just stay in the book. God's got a word to speak to the social conditions even in which we live. If you are a people, if we are a people and we have a hatred toward another people, and we don't have any reason that we would have a racial hatred toward other people at all, that is justifiable in the sight of God. Amen. So God says, I am against you. Why do they hate these people? You remember in Genesis chapter 27 and verse number 36, these twin boys. Now, Jacob is going to have a name change. Anybody here had to change a name? He's going to have a name change. But in Genesis chapter 27 and verse number 36, the Bible says, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Here it is. This brother hated his brother. And he's like, man, I hate my brother. He's taken away my birthright and he's taken away my blessing. One of the things that I do find in life that oftentimes we don't take responsibility for anything that we have done. Because now the fact of the matter is that he has sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge, a bowl of beans. He has sold, and God made sure that the blessing that he sold, that he didn't get back. But we oftentimes don't take responsibility for our part in whatever the animus is, whatever the anger is, whatever the hostility is. It's not my fault. You always make me act this way. Well, no, no. Nobody makes you act that way. You choose to act the way you choose to act. I act and choose the way that I choose to act. And God says, listen, listen, I'm going to hold you accountable. You have shed blood, and blood is going to come after you. What goes around, you know it. Come on, y'all. What goes around comes around. Notice, the Bible says in Genesis 27 and verse number 42, and these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Your brother is purposing, your brother is going to kill you, and look, you need to get out of town. And we have an hatred, we have an animus, we have animosity that is starting, and these boys in the womb were fighting. And listen, it seems like people for some reason think it's okay to hate another people, and they will justify, well, they do this and they do that, you made me. Look, the thing is that God is going to tell them, we bring these things upon ourselves. We have to recognize and be responsible for our own sin, for our own part in whatever the matter is. And if there's going to be peace, you know who it depends on? It depends on me. It depends on me to make peace between and among people. But I'll tell you, Brother Gary was going through the Beatitudes. One of the things was, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And those are attributes that all of us should have. We ought to be peacemakers in the kingdom of God. In Ezekiel chapter 35 and verse number 6, the Bible says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. You know, I said it already. What goes around comes around. The Bible reminds us in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What goes around comes around. If there's a group of people that hate people and cause people to be killed for what we would say no justifiable reason, and they are chasing after blood, don't you know that God is not happy with that? And what goes around comes around. God said to Edom, I am against you. And we see by pattern here, by example, that God is against people who rise up against other people and have a hatred and an anger toward people that they have no reason to be justified. Well, you know, my great-granddaddy's brother on my sister's side was, what has that got to do with you? What has that got to do with you? Well, you are bringing these things up on yourself. Now, listen. We live in a society, and there's a big debate right now about whether or not there is racial bias in the United States of America. And you've got people in high political office who are supposed to be for all of the people of the United States, and they are for segments of the population, it appears, of the United States. And they sow discord among the different groups trying to obtain a particular goal. And there are people that subscribe to that kind of foolishness. Don't let it be you, brother. Amen. Don't let it be you, sister. But what I'm saying to us is that we have to be careful. Since we live in this culture, it's easy to drink the Kool-Aid. Let me show you what I mean. Don't worry, don't worry. Some of y'all get nervous. Oh, Lord, wait, just stay with me. There are three points I told you that we're going to look at. The judgment against Edom, all right? That's one, and that's where we are right now. The promise of God to restore his people, and there will be one nation, and that one nation is in Jesus Christ. Hold on, hold on. We're getting there. Now, since we've been reared in this culture, you need to make sure that we don't subscribe and support and endorse some of the same racial strife and concepts. One of the people, the attorney general, made a comment about what Jesse Jackson has said. Talking about Jesse said if he's walking down the street and he looks back and there are a group of black folks that are walking behind him, black men walking behind, that he get nervous, which was a misquote anyway. But, you know, some of us are like, would you be more nervous if it was one racial group versus the other? You go to the airport and get ready to get on the airplane, and there's a man there with a turban, and he's got on what people would call sheets, and he got a long beard. Do we have a racial profile? Go like, well, you know, do I take this plane? You know what? I think there's another plane after this. Do we subscribe? Are we drinking the Kool-Aid? Now, one of these things. Now, wait a minute. You've heard these. You heard some. I'm just sharing some thoughts with you for some things that I know that you've heard somewhere along the way. If it's a black business, then the product is an inferior product. And if it's a black business, it's closed on what day? Monday. Where does all of this stuff come from? Our brother Michael Wayne, when we were in Fort Worth, Texas, on the street, they had this saying, folk were going around back in the 70s, they saying, if you're white, you're right. If you're brown, stick around. If you're black, get back. We have heard all of these things that are stereotypes. What I'm saying is that we're reared up in this culture, and you've got to be careful, because if you drink the Kool-Aid, you have people that are of the same race that don't like folk of the same race. There's an implicit bias, and we've got to be careful. Look, it's in the Bible. Did you know? Look at it. It's in the Bible. Let's take a look at it. Right here in the Word of God. We'll see in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 12. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 12. Now, some of y'all in social media are going like, oh, Lord. No. This is the word of God. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse number 12. There are racial bias, and God holds us accountable for how we look at and how we treat other people. You know, it's important. Notice here in Titus 1 and verse number 12. This is what Apostle Paul said. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Now, wait. The Cretans are a race of people. And Paul is quoting one of their prophets. And what did their prophet say about his people? He says, my people are liars, always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Now, what did Paul say? He picked this up in verse number 13. Paul says, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Now, he's telling Timothy, well, what their prophet said about them is true. See, here's the thing. Is that we get caught up in the systemic racism, and we get the same attitudes and the opinions, and from our own experiences, then we'll certify something as true. But go back if you will. Go back to verse number 12 again. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars. If he's a Cretan and he says the Cretans are always liars, and he's a Cretan and they are always liars, did he tell the truth when he said the Cretans are always liars? Something is wrong. It does not compute. He drank the Kool-Aid. What I'm saying is, don't let these prejudices enter into our own hearts and our own minds, even about our own people. Because if he was always lying, then that prophet was lying when he said, okay, I hope you can follow the point. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm so glad that we have a righteous God. Amen. A God who promises to restore his people. All right, let's get to the restoration part. Ezekiel chapter 36. Can't go through it, man. I hope you're enjoying the read through the Bible. There's some great stuff through here. If you haven't started, it's not too late. Jump in and start reading along. And it seems amazing to me that as we are reading through the Bible, that it speaks to so many of the social and political and cultural and absolutely religious conditions that we're facing today. Ezekiel 36 and verse number 22. The Bible says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen. Now, notice what God says to Israel. I'm going to save you not because of you, not for your sakes, O house of Israel. But why is God going to save them? He says, but for mine holy name, which you have profaned. We are all sinners. I don't have to ask anybody in here if you have sinned. The word tells us we are all sinners. And what God says to Israel, you profane my name, but because of my holy name, God says, I'm just going to save you because I'm God all by myself. Ain't God good, brother? God is wonderful toward his people. He says, I will save you. But now notice in verses 26 through 27, Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. Notice. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. He's going to give them a new heart and a new spirit with them. And he says, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God says, I'm going to take that rock out where the heart is supposed to be, and I'm going to give you a heart and a spirit that is acceptable in the eyes of God. Anybody know anybody with a hard heart? Anybody in the family of God got a hard heart? Yeah, these people of God had a hard heart under the old law, and there are among us members of the family of God, and we could have a hard heart, and God says, I got to take it out. Amen. And give you a heart of flesh. Why, God, are you going to take it out? You remember a song, there were some lines in a song, I know this is past this generation, but y'all heard about a woman named Hard-Hearted Hannah? Brother JT, you might remember some of that. Hard-hearted Hannah. Who was Hard-hearted Hannah? They say Hard-hearted Hannah would pour water on a drowning man. I hope none of us, as people of God, are hard-hearted people. And we're not going to pour any water on you. We will baptize you in water for the remission of your sins, that you might rise to walk in a newness of life. That's the water we want to get you to. We're not going to pour water on a drowning man. God says, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit. Notice in verse number 27. Why, God? And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. God, in every dispensation, has looked for a people whose hearts would be tender toward him. People who want to walk in his statutes, to learn the word of God and to abide by the word of God. And in God's word, there's no place for racial hatred among us in the kingdom of Christ, even today. Amen. God says, I'm against you. And it's because God is righteous and good all by himself. Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's get verses 31. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse number 31. The Bible says, then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Lord, when I look at my life, the sins of my life convict me. Do your sins convict you? And God says, this is what's going to happen with my people. You're going to look at your own evil ways and know that you need God. Does anybody in here know already that you need God? Brother, I need God. Sister, I need God. I cannot do this thing by myself. I need God in my life. Lord, help me that I may be all right in your eyes. Amazing blessing that we see from God. Not for your sakes. Well, why is God going to do this? Go to Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 10. You see, God had made a promise to the children of Israel when he took them out of Canaan's land and he created from Abraham a new people. There's a promise that as following, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. And we don't have time to go down through and get details on all this, but look at Genesis chapter 49. And verse number 10, I love this this read through and this as we're going through it and drawing and making the application. Genesis 49 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Judah, the southern tribe. The scepter, what is the scepter? The scepter is the diadem, if you will. That is the rod that shows that this is the ruler. The scepter shall not depart from who? Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Now leave that up there for a moment. So let's think about this and see if we can understand it. God promises that the scepter, the rule over God's people, would not depart from Judah. And there will always be a lawgiver that's coming down through the Judaic line until Shiloh comes. Now, Shiloh, that in the Hebrew, that phrase actually seems to represent the concept to whom it belongs. Until Shiloh comes in could be rendered until the one to whom it belongs shall come. There's always going to be a lawgiver that comes down out of the Judaic line of the people of Israel. So there is going to be a lawgiver until Shiloh comes, and that's a promise from God. And there's going to be a lawgiver until the one to whom it belongs shall come. Man, if we had some time, we could do some reading and do some application as we're going through here. But I know y'all, you know, wait, how much time we got? All right, just stay with me for a while. Notice. Let's go ahead. We'll go ahead and get to chapter 37. I've got this where I skipped over a bunch of stuff, and we'll just drop down to chapter 37. Now, everybody's familiar with Ezekiel chapter 37. That's where you got dry bones in the valley. Man, and I've preached many of sermons about the dry bones in the valley and the bone coming to bone and the sinews coming up on it and breath, and you preach, and sometimes you seem like you are preaching to a bunch of dead folks. Not today. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37 and let's get verse number 3. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 3. God took Ezekiel out into a valley that's full of dry bones. Ezekiel 37 and verse number 3, the Bible said, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? You look around and the bones were dry and very brittle. And God asked the preacher, can these bones live? Preachers, Bible school teachers, listen. What we think makes a difference on how we teach and how we preach. He said, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Do you recognize, though, even as preachers and teachers, there are some things that we do not know? So listen, I've said this on the last occasion when I had a chance to lead the devotion. Preachers and teachers preach and teach what thus saith the Lord. When we have opinions, let's label our opinions. And don't let our opinions substitute for the word of God. Is that all right? The word of God. He said, Lord, thou knowest. This is some great reading in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, and let's drop down to verse number 11. I'm not going to go and do my dry bones in the valley sermon. Boy, if I had time, though. If I had time. In Ezekiel 37 and verse number 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are, get it now, the whole house of Israel. Who are these dry bones in the valley? What's the word? The whole house of Israel. There's that word, behold. It says, pay attention. This is what the people of God were saying in their Babylonian captivity and those that were remaining in Judah, in Jerusalem. This is what they said. They say, behold, they say, are the bones talking, y'all? Listen, are the bones talking? Listen. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost, for we are cut off for our parts. Oh, somebody ought to be putting in Facebook Live right now. Preach. Somebody ought to be putting that in there right now. Somebody, our hope is lost. Do you know that we cannot save ourselves? Have you come to that conclusion? I don't care how good you are, brother. I don't care how good you are, sister. I don't care how holy you are. We cannot save ourselves. Israel had to come to that point where they understood their hope is all cut off. Can these bones live again? Go back to Ezekiel 37 and verse number 4. Ezekiel 37 and verse number 4. And he said unto me, prophesy. What is that? Preach. Prophesy, preach upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear what? The word of the Lord. Is there anything too hard for God? Preach. Preach who? The dry bones. What? They're dead. What? They're not listening. What? They won't pay attention. Preach. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. It doesn't matter if people want to hear it or if they don't want to hear it. Preach the word of God. Amen. Teach the word of God. Not our own concepts. Not our own positions. Preach to the dead bones. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 10. Notice. What did he do? So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. When we do what God told us to do, the word of God can get the dead up out of the seats. Get the dead up out of the valley of dry bones. Get the dead up out of the grave. And those who are dead, when they receive the word of God, though they die, they will always live in God. Amen. Man, God is good. All by himself. All we got to do is what God told us to do. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 22. I'm going to get to the one nation now. Because God is going to make one nation. And as I said, you got to stay with this. You got to watch this. You got to watch it because that one nation is in Jesus Christ. And again, you can be a part of the one nation of Jesus Christ. You can be in the family of God. Something that has already been prophesied and it has been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. And you can be a part of the one nation. Ezekiel 37. And verse number 22, the Bible says, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into kingdoms anymore at all. Wait a minute. Judah and Israel had a split. Right after Solomon, they had this split. And now they are Israel and Judah. And God says, I'm not having it. Y'all going to be one nation. How many kings were they going to have? Did you get it? What did they put in the chat? How many kings? One king. And they're not going to be divided anymore into two kingdoms at all. God has said it, and it's going to be just like God says. Go to Acts chapter 2 now. Somebody said, okay, it's about time you got out of that old Bible. Go to Acts chapter 2, and let's get verse number 29. You see, the patriarch is going to be none other than David. If you go through and you continue to look in Ezekiel chapter 37, you'll see that David is named as the king over the reunited kingdoms into one kingdom. But there's a problem. Wait, how David going to be the king and David is dead? So Paul is going to teach about this in Acts chapter 2. Are you ready for this? Oh, I hope you can see it. I'll give you all of the 3 points again at the conclusion. We're going to get there in a few minutes. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 29, the Bible says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." Paul says, listen, y'all, David is dead, he's buried, his grave is still with us even to this day. So I'm going to teach y'all something, is what Paul is saying. Go verse number 30. Get this, verse number 30. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 30. Therefore, being a prophet, do you ever think about David as being a prophet? The Bible says, therefore, being a prophet, David was a prophet, and knowing what? That God has sworn with him on an oath that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Shiloh. He's going to raise up the one to whom the scepter belongs. And he prophesied according to the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up who? Christ. Amen. Shiloh came to sit on his throne. Amen. David prophesied about the coming of Messiah, the coming of Jesus, the Christ, the one to whom it belongs. And Christ is going to have one nation, bringing the Jews and the Jews of Israel, the Judah and Israel, bringing them back into one family. And now some folks are troubling a lot of our folk nowadays with this. We the black Jews. We're the nation of Israel. And y'all need to listen to us. Yeah, you know what? Don't let people trouble you. Stick with the word of God. They're saying, oh, Jesus only came to reconcile the Jews under the Jews from the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. Yes, he did. But that one nation includes you and me in Jesus Christ. You want to see it? All right, let me go ahead. I'll get to it. Let me show you. It's in the book. Let's get Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And if you write things down, highlight things or make notes or whatever you do in your electronic device, this one you need to make sure that you're able to get back to. Romans chapter 9, starting at verse number 6. Look at what the Bible says. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. All right, did you get that? Listen, there's some teaching here. There's some teaching. Paul, teach us. The word of God, it's not like the word of God did not take effect. What God said, God's word accomplished. Shiloh came. That's Jesus the Christ. He's the one for whom the scepter shall not depart. And he's going to make one nation, one people that are the people of God. But now Paul says, listen, everybody that's out of Israel, all of the people that are Jews are not all of the house of God. Just because your DNA says you are of one race or the other does not make you a son of God. It's got nothing to do with your DNA. It's got something to do with your obedience. Oh, man, listen to this. Listen to this. Verse number 7, Romans chapter 9 and verse number 7. And be ready with verse number 8, brother, because I said I added a verse. I added a verse. I think I needed to get this one in. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 7. It says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. Is that in your Bible? Am I making it up? Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Don't come telling me that you a black Jew come out of this, that, or the other. What difference does it make? You need to obey the word of God. That's how we started off, remember, in Ezekiel chapter 35 and verse number, the word of the Lord. That's where we want to rest. Neither because they are the, I don't care what your DNA says, just because your DNA says you are of the seed of Abraham, you are not all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This is why I need to get verse number 8. Go ahead, get verse number 8. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 8. I had to add this one. That is, they which are children of the flesh. Did you get it? That is, they which are the children of the flesh. Your DNA, I don't care what your DNA is. These are not the children of God. Your race does not make you a child of God. But the children of the promise. I'm a promise son. I received the promise that Shiloh was going to come. I received the promise that Jesus was going to come. I received the promise that Jesus is going to make one nation under God. And he says, but the children are the children of promise. They are counted for the seed. All right, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. I got about 8 minutes. I'm going to wrap up here. Galatians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And get Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. And then I'll extend the invitation. I hope you can follow this. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one and to thy seed, which is Christ. These people that are going around troubling you today, they're the wrong one, brother. There's one seed. There's one Shiloh. There's one to whom it belongs. And that is Christ. One seed, which is Christ. In verse number 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. The covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years afterward, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of God of none effect. See, God promised that through Christ, he was going to make one nation. And that one nation is in the church that Jesus built. Amen. It is the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew's gospel, the 16th chapter and verse number 18, he says, and this I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if you want to be in the one nation of God, then you need to be in the church that Jesus built. And you come into the body of Christ, as I started off saying, remember, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that he is the one to whom the scepter belongs? There's nobody that can come after. Thank you, brother. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Unto the Jew first and also to the Greek. Everybody, that one nation in Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Is there anybody seeking to be a part of the one nation of God this morning? Then simply repent. Repent again. Turn from self and sin. Turn to God. Confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. 713-672-2654. Call that number. We will get you in the water today. We will baptize you into the one nation that is in Jesus Christ. So this morning, what we have seen is the prophecy against Edom. It's not right for us to hate people no matter what their race is. God promises to restore his people. He did that. He brought them into one nation. Yes, Judah and Israel were reunited, and all of us are now reunited in Jesus Christ if we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved! That's how you get in the one nation of God. We thank you for your time. We thank you for your attention. We pray God's blessings upon you. If we can help you, please, please let us know. At this time, we turn you into the hands of our brothers for the balance of the service. God bless.